Volume 1, The Symbolic Code Number 8. The Symbolic Code News Items. Volume 1, February 15, 1935. Number 8, Los Angeles, Calif. In the interest of the SD8 nomination. A letter to AMMI and Ruham on behalf of Mother. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant, I have formed thee, thou art my servant, O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Isaiah 44:21. The many letters and inquiries coming from every part of the field has added much extra work to our regular duties, so that it has been impossible to keep pace with our correspondence in connection with the Shepherd's Rod. We have tried to respond to the most urgent letters, and to those that demand personal answers, others we thought could be answered in a general letter. The Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1 came off the press in the month of December, 1930. Since that time we have, under the direction of God, tried to send to every Seventh-day Adventist church throughout the world a copy, or more. Besides these, we have sent hundreds to our ministers and conference workers, and also have maintained a continual mailing list to lay members from every part of the Union, and some of the foreign countries, but the response thus far has not been commensurate with the effort put forth to warn the Church of the impending doom. A bloody sword is hanging over the churches, and the fact demands our utmost service. A clear vision of the necessity for a thorough reformation, as represented in the Shepherd's Rod, should have aroused everyone connected with the third angel's message. Such neglect for repentance and spiritual awakening makes our hearts sad. Even though some may doubt the danger ahead, there should be no carelessness on the part of God's church to put away sin at any time. The Lord is speaking to us, shall we not heed His voice? Shall we not trim our lamps and act like men who are looking for their Lord to come? The time is one that calls for light bearing and action. We earnestly ask our brothers and sisters who believe in the message, humbly and sincerely, to pray for God's dear people, and let our prayers be mixed with faith, trusting in God, to bless our efforts. The greatest concern of every believer should be a burden for the safety of the flock. Therefore, we must make irresistible exertion of mind and might to present the message to them. Some of our brethren wish to know the position we hold on the message in the rod. The question is, do we allow mistakes in it, or do we hold that the contents in the rod are unquestionable? This we answer as follows. Analysis proves that truth has never come at any time by the power and wisdom of men, but by the Spirit of God through instruments of His own choice. Said Jesus, "When the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth." If we should believe the words of the Master, then we must conclude that the rod contains either all truth, or there is no truth in it, save the quotations of truth. Therefore, if we admit one truth revealed by the rod, then we must accept it all. If God has been able to guide His servants in the past into all truth, He is able now. Therefore, we take the position that the message in the rod is free from error in so far as the ideas put forth are concerned. We have had many good and encouraging letters from every part of the field, both home and abroad. Many have taken up the work as their God-given duty to warn our people of their danger, by sending a copy of the Srod volumes to each one of their friends, distributing our free literature, studying with others, selling the books, and sending us the names. Some of the local church elders have responded to the message and presented the matter to the whole church with good results. Though the response has been disproportionate to the effort put forth, as previously stated, the evidence is such that God has Daniels, Shadrachs, Meshachs, and Abednegoes, also Gideons, everywhere awaiting the call. The Lord has faithful servants who in the shaking, testing time will be disclosed to view. There are precious ones now hidden who have not bowed the knee to Baal. 5 TAT. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 8, Page 1. We are confronted with opposition from our conferences, which are trying to drown the message and kill the work of reform. They talk against the publications, but not once have they opened their pages and successfully refuted any of the contents. Their excuse is that they cannot afford to give any of their valuable time to investigate new light. Ridicule is the only thing we hear. Arguing on the direct application of minor points does not change the message in the rod so long as the lessons derived cannot be refuted. The subject in the rod is the 144,000 and a call for reformation, based on Revelation 7, Ezekiel 9, Isaiah 63, 66, 16, 19, 20, and, as they cannot refute either of these, it proves that the message is correct. Many of the laity are demanding explanations of the message in the shepherd's rod, but, as the ministry cannot give them a satisfactory answer, it is arousing many to search out the truth for themselves. Thus the message is spreading everywhere, with evidence that reformation is sure. Such reports as that the Srod has been killed in the South, and has died out in California, and elsewhere are naught but pathetic evidences that the angel of the Laodiceans is growing frantic over the mounting realization of the increasing insecurity of his position, and who in consequent desperation is trying anything and everything in latest attempt to save himself from the relentlessly oncoming ruin. We have seen and heard sufficient to know that many of the ministry are convinced of the truth of the message in the rod, but dare not openly confess their convictions or take their stand. On many occasions the leadership has disfellowshipped some of the earnest ones, but by no means has it checked the influence of the truth. Indeed, this attempt to frighten the people to give up studying the message and working in the lines of reformation has only served to accomplish the very opposite result. We again warn our people to remain faithful to God and follow complete instructions in every move they make. There can be no success in the work of God, and He cannot use us if we exercise our wisdom independent of His. Let everyone remain at the post of duty, as though all the work of God rested on his shoulders. God has forewarned that everyone must remain in the church where he belongs, regardless of what may happen to his church membership. It is not our names on the church books that saves us, but the keeping of the truth. Complete instructions have been given in the Srod, Volume 1, pages 28-9, also 245-252, Tract Number 2, page 41, Tract Number 4, page 45. Let everyone aim to be one of the 144,000, by careful observance of the instructions given, and then the barriers now erected against the truth will crumble to the ground, like the walls of Jericho. The Lord shall appear to our joy, and those that cast us out shall be ashamed. Isaiah 66:5. The spirit of prophecy looking forward to this time says, God will use ways and means by which it will be seen that He is taking the reins in His own hands. The workers will be surprised by the simple means that He will use to bring about and perfect His work of righteousness. TM 300. We regret that we must speak of the actions on the part of our brethren, but we are duty-bound to defend God's people and His truth. Therefore, we are obliged to give out the following information for the benefit of those who are willing to study and investigate for themselves in preference to accepting the decisions of others. Says the Spirit of God, those who have not been in the habit of searching the Bible for themselves or weighing evidence have confidence in the leading men and accept the decisions they make, and thus many will reject the very messages God sends to His people if these leading brethren do not accept them. TM 106-107. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Isaiah 2:22. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Jeremiah 17:5. The news broadcast throughout the sisterhood of churches and conferences, in both home and foreign fields, that the author of the Shepherd's Rod is not a Seventh-day Adventist, is the blackest falsehood. I have been in good and regular standing, a believer of the Advent truth in all its precept without variation, from the day I first accepted the truth until now. Those who have read the Shepherd's Rod will appreciate the fact that what I have stated is true. At the time the message of the Shepherd's Rod came, I was both a member and officer in one of our churches. It was after the book had been written that my name was dropped from the church records by the church council, with the support only of 2 lay members out of about 200, at which time our conference president said to me, "I had to drop your name from the church records so that I can tell the churches." Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 8, Page 2. That the book is not written by a Seventh-day Adventist. Though our brethren think I am not now a Seventh-day Adventist, because they have unlawfully disregarded and deprived me my membership rights, how do they dare to say that the Shepherd's Rod is not written by a SDA, when my name was still on the church books at the time the rod was written? And even now I am present to attend whenever possible the church where I had my membership at the time the message came, and similar is the case of each one who has connected with the message of this rod. I repeat, it is not our names on the church books that make us true Seventh-day Adventists, but the keeping of the truth. If the only possible way the brethren have of casting reflections upon the message is by falsifying the facts, then they had better leave the responsibility of defending the truth wholly to God, who is able to protect His people by truth instead of falsehood. We are very much concerned to hear from every true Seventh-day Adventist. Please write and give us all the information which would be of help in the work. We must cooperate in spreading the message as soon as possible, for the time is shorter than we can realize. We pledge ourselves to help you in every possible way. We hope to hear from all our brethren who have not expressed their view in regard to the message. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Deuteronomy 4:1. I am sincerely your brother for a fervent appeal to mother. Another call for laborers. Dear brother, just a few lines from our little company. There are 7 who have taken their stand for the message of present truth found in this rod, which we find in harmony with the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, and in which we are surely happy and rejoicing. Now we are asking for someone to come and teach us more about the message, that we may better work to the glory of God and the advancement of His cause. Signed, W. R. Young. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Matthew 9:37-38. Time is short. Workers for Christ are needed everywhere. There should be 100 earnest, faithful laborers in home and foreign mission fields, where now there is 1. The highways and the byways are yet unworked. Urgent inducements should be held out to those who ought now to be engaged in missionary work for the Master. The Lord calls for volunteers who will lay their stand firmly on His side, and will pledge themselves to unite with Jesus of Nazareth in doing the very work that needs to be done now, just now. FCE 488. Be of the living God. If you would go forth to do Christ's work, angels of God would open the way before you. Are you individually laborers together with God? If not, why not? When do you mean to do your heaven-appointed work? 6438. He wants you to go forth to our churches to labor earnestly for Him. 9107. The words of Christ apply to the church. Why stand ye here all the day idle? Why are you not at work at some capacity in His vineyard? Again and again He has bid you, "Go ye also into my vineyard, and whatsoever is right that shall ye receive." But this gracious call from heaven has been disregarded by the large majority. Is it not high time that you obey the commands of God? There is work for every individual who names the name of Christ. A voice from heaven is solemnly calling you to duty. Heed this voice, and go to work at once in any place, in any capacity. Why stand ye here all the day idle? There is work for you to do, a work that demands your best energies. Every precious moment of life is related to some duty which you owe to God or to your fellow men, and yet you are idle. 5-203-4 Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 8, Page 3. The Come-In Crash. The church here has had several committee meetings of late because of my activities. Things are getting real serious. They say they see a split coming, and it frightens them. Oh, I rejoice when I see things coming to a head. God is working, and soon the crash will come. They are trying to get evidence against me, but no matter what they do to me, I want to be what Jesus wants me to be, and with His help I am going to be. Signed, Mrs. Anna Oswald, Houston, Texas. Though it is an inexpressibly sad thing, that through internal troubles it appears that God's church must cause itself to come crashing down to the ground, yet as long as this must be, and as long as God says, O great mountain, thou shalt become a plain, we, too, do rejoice at the prospect of things soon coming to a head, when out of the ruins He shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Zechariah 4:7. Though the angel of the Laodiceans has not heeded the merciful warnings given long ago, the tragedy could be averted even now if he would but take heed to the present call which God is mercifully making. In September 1895, the servant of the Lord wrote, The high-handed power that has been developed, as though position has made men gods, makes me afraid, and ought to cause fear. It is a curse wherever, and by whomsoever it is exercised. This lording it over God's heritage will create such a disgust of men's jurisdiction that a state of insubordination will result. The people are learning that men in high positions of responsibility cannot be trusted to mold and fashion other men's minds and characters. The result will be a loss of confidence even in the management of faithful men. But the Lord will raise up laborers who realize their own nothingness, without special help from God. TM 361 Laws and rules are being made at the centers of the work that will soon be broken to atoms if the cords are drawn much tighter, if the rules are made much finer, if men continue to bind their fellow laborers closer and closer to the commandments of men. Many will be stirred by the Spirit of God to break every shackle and assert their liberty in Christ Jesus. R.&H., July 23, 1895. The Lord will work to purify His church. I tell you in truth, the Lord is about to turn and overturn the institutions called by His name. Just how soon this refining process will begin, I cannot say, but it will not be long deferred. He whose fan is in His hand will cleanse His temple of its moral defilement. He will thoroughly purge His floor. TM 373 Satan will work his miracles to deceive. He will set up his power as supreme. The church may appear as about to fall, but it does not fall. It remains, while the sinners in Zion will be sifted out. The chaff is separated from the precious wheat. This is a terrible ordeal, but nevertheless it must take place. None but those who have been overcoming by the blood of the Lamb in faith, walking in the light, and the word of their testimony giving the message, will be found with the loyal and true 144,000, without spot or stain of sin, without guile in their mouth. The remnant that purify their souls by obeying the truth gather strength from the trying process, exhibiting the beauty of holiness amid the surrounding apostasy, the great issue. Sony Rathand will weed out those whom God has not appointed, and He will have a pure, true, sanctified ministry prepared for the latter rain. B 55 1886. The crash must come, and it will be a terrible ordeal. Hence come the Lord's merciful warnings to us to get ready. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass, as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Zephaniah 2:1-3. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For, behold, the Lord cometh out of his place, to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Isaiah 26:20, 21. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 8, page 4. As the message goes, I have read with keen interest the two tracts you sent me, and wish to learn more of present truth. I have fully determined to investigate all that is to be learned of this new light on the truths we have always known and held dear. Past 50 years of age, I have been a student of God's Word since childhood, and have labored in the Sabbath school and church as Bible teacher and leader, and I can say from what I have learned from the two tracts which I have just received from you that the scriptures which I have never been able to understand are now as clear as the sunlight. I am indeed glad for this wonderful light, and I fully believe it is God's truth, the third angel's message in verity. For several years a brother and I have been studying to improve ourselves that possibly we might be able to do work in public for the Lord. Yesterday I briefly explained to him about this work, and he wishes to become informed in these truths. I am anxious to get the books and get to studying as soon as possible. Eagerly awaiting these studies in present truth, I am yours, in the Master's service, signed L.C. Forsyth, Wapakoneta, Ohio. Bro. Feilbaum of Hartford City, Ind. sends us the following letter which he received from his sister shortly after paying her a visit, at which time he explained to her about the message, and left some tracts. I was to write you if I wanted the Srad books. I have read the tracts you left me, and am now rereading parts of them, and I must say that the more I read them the more I am convinced that this message is of God, so I am eager to receive the books. I read that the sealing time is very short, and I am anxious to learn all about it so I can help to enlighten others. How can anyone with an honest heart help but see the need of a reformation in the church? What a sad thing to think that some in the church don't want to hear the message. I feel that God has set his hand to do a quick work. I have feared that he would do this, and that I would not know when it was going on, but I am so glad he has made it known to me so I can be ready. Cast outs rejoicing in their lot. I began to read the message contained in the Srad by claiming the promise of John 7:17. And I was never more convinced of anything in all my life, and that it is a message from God to backslidden Israel. I have long felt the need of revival and reformation in my own heart, and this message has been a shining light to me. If it were heeded, it would save our people from the deadly formalism which is leavening our churches everywhere. I have suffered a few things for the truth's sake, being one of the seven in our church who were cast out last August, but there is a lull in the storm right at present. Others of our church studied with us and were convinced of truth, but turned back to the formal grind when persecution started, fulfilling Matthew 13:21. May they return before it is too late is our prayer. Signed, Ethel Gilbert, Greenville, Escar. Just about a year and a half ago the Srad came to our church and found seven souls that wanted to be on the Lord's side when he comes in judgment to purify his church. Ezekiel 9:5-8. Five of them, each had only a few books of S.R. White's writings, and some of them did not believe in her writings at all until the Srad showed them how absolutely necessary it is to have and study the testimonies. Also, some were working on the Sabbath, besides doing many other things that a true Christian does not do. But by the power of the wonderful truth in the message of the Srad, we have been able to give up those unlawful things and are now rejoicing in the happiness of victory. On the evening of December 22, 1934, Isaiah 66:5 was enacted in unforgettable scenes in the church. Five of the best members were cast out, not because they were not loyal to the third angel's message, but because they were not obeying the general conference. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 8, page 5. After each had given his testimony for the truth, the elder said, "The question is not whether the Srat is truth or error, but whether or not you are true to the general conference." One brother, who had not yet fully taken his stand for the message, upon witnessing the unfairness of the proceedings, said, "If you are going to cast out these good brethren, then you will have to act upon my name also." Thus the persecution by the church is making adherence to the message of present truth. Through the whole disgraceful procedure, the five were calm and of good spirit, and afterwards one brother said that he never felt so happy and free before. The event has already proven a blessing to all, for since being cast out, each is now more burdened to work for the brethren, and we pray that God will bless our labors to save them from the awful destruction just ahead. Signed, John Barrilinger, Escondido, Calif. There is power to reform. The present truth of the third angel's message, the angel of Revelation 18:1, as revealed in the Srad, has filled my soul, and the power of the Holy Spirit has convinced me that a great reformation is now in progress, and I thank God for reforming influence in my own life. May He lead each honest heart to a diligent study of His Word, that we may love the truth as it is in Jesus, and be sealed with the seal of the living God for eternity. Signed, Mrs. M. Mikun, Greeley, Colorado. Gratitude for light. Oh, how thankful I am for the Srat message. It proves from the Bible and testimonies to be the present truth which the flock needs now, and I am determined to study and learn more so I can have a part in finishing the work. Signed, Mrs. Eva Aror, Greeley, Colorado. Meat to the hungry. I just want to tell you that I have found this rod to be a message for us that is meat in due season, and my prayer is that more will follow in this wonderful truth and bravely walk in its light. Signed, V. Dior, Greeley, Colorado. Light grows. I am taking the opportunity of writing to you again. The more I study the Srat, the more light I can see in it. Every day it grows more beautiful. The other day I received a letter from my pastor warning me against the Srat. He sent me the little pamphlet, A Warning Against Terror, but I have found it unreliable, and I know that my pastor has not investigated the teaching of the Srat for himself, and is therefore not justified in condemning either it or me, for I am making a thorough study of its teachings with the Bible and the testimonies before me, and I find more truth every time I read it over. I have felt for some time that the little tithe I have should go to the storehouse where present truth is, so last week I decided to send it, for if the message is of God, we should support it and be willing to suffer for Christ's sake. Please pray for me that I may be strong in faith. Is the truth still advancing? In the letter from my pastor he said that the General Conference sent Elder to Charleston, S. Carr, and succeeded in stamping out the Srat doctrine there, and that it is making a great deal of trouble here and there. I do hope that the good Lord will put it into the hearts of many of His dear people to study for themselves before it is too late. My heart is sad for the dear ones who will not investigate for themselves. Do pray for me that I may hold up Jesus in my life and be prepared to help others find the way, and that I may be able to stand when He appears. Signed, Mrs. J. A. Dundover, Hanover, Bach. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 8, page 6. Questions and Answers. Question: Will you please explain how the symbolic code got its name and why it is so called? Answer: The name, the symbolic code, came in the same way as did the message. It is so called because the paper explains prophetic symbols and speaks in symbolical terms. Question: Tract number 3, page 62 shows that on January 18th, 1934, the members of the Tabernacle Church of Fullerton, Caliph requested that a committee of 10 or 12 of the brethren meet Hoyudef concerning the teachings of the Srad. A Warning Against Terror, page 30 says that the committee met Mr. Haldef and a few of his followers, and at the end of the study asked for a few days in which to study carefully the points presented and to prepare their reply. Page 30 of the same pamphlet says, on Sunday, March 18th, this committee again met Mr. Hoyudef with a number of his followers and read this reply. But tract number 3, page 71 says that you waited 2 months without receiving any reply, and at last on April 28, 1934, sent a telegram to Elder Daniels while they were assembled in the Spring Council at Washington, D.C. Thus one says the reply was delivered March 18th, and the other says it was 2 months later. Which one is right? Answer: the dates here given are correct. The apparent discrepancy arises from the fact that the event of January 18th, the reading of the reply, is not what tract number 3, page 71 is referring to. It is referring to the written reply, supposed to be to the study given, which he did not receive until 2 months after it was read at the March 18th meeting, at which time they were supposed to hand it to Hoyudef so he could study it and know what to do. Question: has Hoyudef attributed several quotations to S.R. White which it has been proven that she did not write? Answer: there are 3 quotations in the Srad that are challenged as not being written by S.R. White. One of these is found in the Srad, Volume 1, page 110, Part 2, the second on page 14 of the same volume, Part 1, and the third in Volume 2, pages 151, 152. The first 2 references were given to Hoyudef by reputable SDA ministers in accredited standing with the denomination, as he had more faith in the ministry at that time, and he does now. He supposed that the quotations were correct beyond question, and, as it was impossible for him to verify them, he took them in good faith at their minister's word. Since that time he has verified the one quoted on page 14, and found that the quotation is given verbatim, but that the letter from which it was quoted was signed by C.C. Chrysler, Senior White Secretary. However, though the excerpt does not bear S.R. White's signature, the communications pertaining to it prove that S.R. White said her approval on the statement. In fact, Chrysler being her amanuensis in such an important work, it would have been impossible for him to present anything doctrinal except she approved it. Therefore, whether or not S.R. White signed her name to it, the quotation came from her office through her appointed secretary. The second quotation, which is supposed to be from the Review and Herald, we have not been in a position to verify. However, the question as to whether or not these quotations came from the pen of S.R. White would have no bearing so far as the correctness of the lessons taught in the Srad is concerned, for the ideas set forth in the Srad are proven without these particular references, which, however, prove the quotations true regardless of their authorship. The third quotation, found in Volume 2 of the Srad, pages 151, 152, is taken from A Word to the Little Flock, pages 8, 9, from an article signed by Elder James White. We are justified in crediting this to S.R. White, for her name is in the publication, and naturally she passed her approval upon what her husband wrote. Moreover, page 19 of the same publication proves that what Elder White wrote was nothing more or less than what God had revealed through her, for she says, I saw that the number 666, of the image beast, the two-horned beast, Revelation 13, 11, 18 was made up, and that it was the beast, the leopard, like, Revelation 13, 1, 10, that changed the Sabbath, and the image beast, the two-horned beast, had followed on after, and kept the posts, and not God's Sabbath. This proves that she was shown in vision that the number 666 applies to the two-horned beast and not to the Pope. Therefore the quotation in the Srad teaches identically the same as what S.R. White saw in vision. Hence, though the article was signed by Elder James, Volume 1 Symbolic Code Number 8, page 7. White, it is just as authoritative as if S.R. Wilde herself has signed it. Question, how should we relate ourselves to the Church? If asked to say nothing in church relevant to present truth, should we remain silent forever? And what should we do when refused a part in the ordinances? Answer, our relation to the Church is the same as was that of John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, and the Apostles. That is, we have a message to proclaim to the Church, and though the Church, like the Sanhedrin, should order us out of the temple, we must refuse to leave it, for if we depart, how shall we proclaim the message to the people? It is unbecoming to a Christian voluntarily to cause any disturbance during church services, neither is it possible by such methods to present the message to them, or convince them that we are speaking the words of life. Therefore, by deporting ourselves reverently and circumspectly, we will give them provocation for naught save false accusations. It is perfectly right and permissible to speak in Sabbath school classes in answer to questions which arise pertaining to the lesson. For this they cannot justly accuse anyone of disturbance, as it is in no wise an infraction of the constituted purpose and rules of the Sabbath school. The chief reasons for refusing to separate ourselves from the body, and for regularly attending Sabbath school and church services, other than the singular, that we would be without privilege of public worship in God's church, is that after the congregation is dismissed we come into contact with the brethren, and find an opportunity to speak of the message, urging them to investigate for themselves, either by attending our studies, or by reading the publications of Present Truth. Hence, if we separate ourselves by staying away from the churches, we give them the opportunity to accuse us of being an offshoot from the body, and ourselves lose the occasion to contact the people. Moreover, if we separate ourselves from the organization, then in the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9, when those who have not the mark are taken away, we shall have no right to claim possession of the denomination. In regard to our participating in the communion service, we should always take part so far as we can. If they refuse to serve us, or let us serve them in the ordinance of humility, there is nothing more we can do than simply wait until the service is over. And if they ignore us when passing the bread and the wine, we are to say nothing, but patiently endure the slight, and by so demeaning ourselves the honest in the congregation will see the unchristian attitude and the folly of the church officers, and will begin to arouse and take in the situation. Though being compulsorily excluded against our will from participating in the ordinances, we nevertheless, like the unbaptized thief on the cross, shall have our names in the book of life, and shall enter paradise. Question, what is our attitude toward the denominational papers? Is God still speaking through the Review and Herald to those who have not seen this light? Should we discard the Review? What about the Sabbath school lessons? Answer, the denominational papers, accepting the quotations from the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, at the present time cannot be of a higher spiritual quality than the denomination itself. It is impossible for the writings of the contributors to these papers to radiate greater light than that which is in the writers themselves. The Review and Herald can be the mouthpiece of God only when those who write in it are in personal contact with Him, walking in the light, as He is in the light. The Sabbath school lessons in themselves are very good, but the trouble lies in the fact that those who prepare them, as well as those who teach them, do not sink the shaft deep enough in the mine of truth, and, as nearly every rebuke and reproof against the denomination is, as a rule, applied to another people, the benefit which should be derived is lost. However, we see no reason for condemning these publications, for they are not responsible in themselves. The object of the message which God has sent in the Sabbath is not to condemn the papers, but to bring about a reformation among us as a people. Hence, if and when the men who contribute to the papers be reformed, then the publications will also be transformed and filled with present truth, and be powerful to reform others. Volume 1 Symbolic Code Number 8, page 8. Question: how do you answer the following statements which I quote from memory, and which I believe are in the testimonies? S.R. White says to stick to the body, even though the leading men make mistakes, for these mistakes will in time be righted, or right themselves. Answer: we personally are aware of no statement of such import. However, though it is true that the people of God must present an united front, nevertheless when God calls for us to move on in the prosecution of truth, we are not to disregard His voice, but to march on, and those who refuse to walk in the light we must leave behind, for we are not to repeat the history of the Jews. Question: I am told that S.R. White has said that we have all the light which we needed till Jesus comes. Is this true? Answer: the statement in question is wholly contrary to everything S.R. White has written on the subject, as can be quickly seen by perusing the following lines. We should all know what is being taught among us, for if it is truth, we need it, no matter by whom light is sent. We should open our hearts to receive it with the meekness of Christ. Oh, may we act as men who want light. The Lord sends light to us to prove what manner of spirit we are of. We are not to deceive ourselves. We must not for a moment think that there is no more light, no more truth to be given us. G. West 301, 302, 310. Question: it is claimed by some that S.R. White made the statement that the loud cry message would come through the Review and Herald. Is there such a statement? Answer: as to the claim that S.R. White said the loud cry message would come through the Review and Herald, we cannot answer authoritatively from a personal knowledge, for our acquaintance with her unpublished works is more limited than extensive, but from those unpublished writings, and they are not less than 100 which we have had the privilege of reading, we would be led to scout the possibility of her ever having written or made such a statement. We quote what she counsels in regard to accepting just such reports. And now to all who have a desire for truth I would say, do not give credence to unauthenticated reports as to what S.R. White has done or said or written. If you desire to know what the Lord has revealed through her, read her published works. Are there any points of interest concerning which she has not written? Do not eagerly catch up and report rumors as to what she has said. 5T696. Moreover, if the Strat is present truth, and S.R. White a true prophet, she could never have made such a statement except it had reference to the messages at that time, and not now. Question: is there such a statement in the spirit of prophecy, as that, we are worse than the Jews? Answer: the statement in question is found in 1T129, last par. Question: what do you mean by the statement in tract number 4, page 83, that he has removed the candlestick? Answer: according to Revelation 1:20, the candlestick represents the church over which the angel, as represented by the star, is in charge. And in Revelation 2:5, the Lord, addressing the angel leadership, warns him that unless he repents and does the first works, he will come unto him quickly, and will remove his candlestick church out of his place, that is, he will remove it out of his charge, and will give it to the charge of another. Hence, the statement, he has not only removed the candlestick, but is calling for the tithes and offerings into his storehouse of present truth, and also for 144,000 servants, explains itself that God has removed the candlestick church from the charge of the angel. Revelation 3:14, the present ministry. The spirit of prophecy says this will be done when the work goes forward under the direction of the angel, who joins the third angel in the message to be given to the world. God will use ways and means by which it will be seen that He is taking the reins in His own hands. The workers will be surprised by the simple means that He will use to bring about and perfect His work of righteousness. TM 300. Again, in Volume 5, page 80, we read that God will put aside those self-sufficient, independent of God, whom He cannot use, and will disclose to view those precious ones now hidden, who have not bowed any to Baal. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 8, page 9. Question: Do the following citations refer to the same time and event? A. When the Lord shall arise to shake terribly the earth. LS 412 2T 141. B. His return from his ministration in the most holy place. 2T 190 1. 2T 690 1. Matthew 24. See he that is unjust, etc. 2T 691. D. The judgment of the living. GC 490 1. 9266 9. Answer. The references cited refer to the same event, which covers the period of the loud cry of the angel of Revelation 18, as explained in LS 412. This period begins with the words of Revelation 18:1-3 and closes with Revelation 22:11. 2T 190, 191, and 690, 691 apply at the close of the above stated period. The closing verses of Matthew 24 apply to the church at the present time and meet their fulfillment in the event of Ezekiel 9. The time when the mandate goes forth, he that is unjust, etc. Volume 2, 691, the work for sinners will be done. During this period of time each will have settled his destiny, either allowed himself to be made righteous and holy, or else chosen to remain unjust and filthy still. Question: In GC 665, where the different classes of the redeemed are enumerated, are the 144,000 those who are plucked as brands from the burning? Answer: The class who are plucked as brands from the burning, GC 665, and the 144,000 who are also plucked as brands from the burning, Zechariah 3, and who are called the elect of God, precious, and will stand next to the throne of God, AT 74, as do the ones in the great controversy, proves that there are two such classes, who occupy about the same position, that is, seeking to restore the moral image of God in others. The former are the ones who died after being plucked, and the latter, the 144,000 who shall never die. After the resurrection of the former and the translation of the latter, both of these brands that were plucked from the burning will unitedly be near the throne. Question: Where is the statement in the spirit of prophecy that says if we pray to know God's will, when he has plainly told us what to do in his word, hoping that he will answer our prayers more to suit the tenor of our feelings, that Satan will be left to answer them for us? Answer: The reference concerning Satan's answering one's prayer, when the suppliant knows but does not want to acknowledge that his answer is already given in the word, is found in 3T 74 76 40 112 Park 3. Question: The Srad Vol 1 page 44 says that only the great multitude have palms in their hands, whereas GC 646, speaking of all overcomers, says in every hand are placed the victor's palm and the shining harps. How are these statements harmonized? Answer: According to Srad Volume 1 page 44, class number 2, namely, the great multitude of Revelation 7-9, have their palms in their hands, while they are on earth before being transported to the heaven of heavens. Hence their palms, according to John's vision, are symbolic of victory gained. But in the statement from the Great Controversy, page 646, in every hand are placed the victor's palm and the shining harp, it will be noted that this gift to the saints is not made until they are in heaven, after they have all been transported from the earth. These palms are real, but the others figurative. To prove that the great multitude have their palms in symbol only, and before Jesus finishes his work in the heavenly sanctuary, read Revelation 7:11. Here it states that the great multitude have their palms, while the elders and four beasts are still before the throne of the investigative judgment, in the heavenly sanctuary. See Srad, Volume 2, pages 189-191. Therefore, they have their palms while the investigative judgment is in session before probation closes. Furthermore, in regard to the class and the event of GC 646, note that in every hand in which is placed the victor's palm, there is also placed a shining harp. Whereas the great multitude have only palms, but no harps. Therefore, these are two separate incidents distinct one from the other. Volume 1 Symbolic Code Number 8 Page 10 Recipes Coconut Milk. Put to soak overnight either 1 cup of clean bran or oatmeal in 1 quart of warm water. In the morning heat but do not boil. Then, to extract all the liquid, put through a press, or a small sack, such as a 5-pound flour sack, squeeze the water out and throw away the hulls. Have ready half large or 1 small coconut grated or ground fine. Over this pour the hot liquid, cover, and set aside for 10 or 15 minutes, then put this through press or sack same as before. Sweeten with honey to the desired taste. If cream is desired instead of milk, use 1 pint instead of 1 quart of water. Almond or raw peanut milk. You may use the grain water for this as before or just hot water, though the grain is preferable as you are getting the vitamins and minerals of the grains as well as the nutritious oils of nuts. Proceed with grain as before, then in the morning rub to a paste 2 or 3 rounding tablespoons of almond meal according to the desired richness with a little hot liquid, then pour over this your grain water or hot water, or if preferred hot fruit juice. Sweeten with honey. This makes 1 pint. Almond meal. Put almonds through food chopper, using peanut butter cutter or finest knife until it is fine as meal. Almond meal may be sprinkled over fruit salads and used in soups instead of butter or oil as a shortening in baking. Near buttermilk. In a cup 3/4 full of water. Soak 1 tablespoon of flax seed and beat it about every 10 minutes during the course of an hour with a rotary egg beater. Before beating it the last time, fill the cup nearly full of water and then let seed settle. Meanwhile, mix and rub to a cream 1 tablespoon of orange or rhubarb juice. Put this cream into a cup and add half of the flax seed fluid and beat it again briskly. Now pour it through a large tea strainer, stirring the while to keep it from clogging. You may add honey to sweeten. These milks are wholesome, delicious, appetizing, and nourishing, and obviate all the infectious diseases, such as tuberculosis, Malta fever, etc. transmitted to man in animal's milk. Let the diet reform be progressive. Let the people be taught how to prepare food without the use of milk or butter. Tell them that the time will soon come when there will be no safety in using eggs, milk, cream, or butter, because disease in animals is increasing in proportion to the increase of wickedness among men. The time is near when, because of the iniquity of the fallen race, the whole animal creation will groan under the diseases that curse our earth. Ch. 478. Important. All checks and money orders are to be made to Mrs. F. Charbonneau. State specifically with each gift or offering what disposition you wish to have us make of same, for which amount a receipt will be forwarded showing that the transaction has been made and properly entered. Our united prayer on Friday Eve. In behalf of our brethren who are in darkness regarding present truth should be faithfully observed by all concerned. Volume 1 Symbolic Code Number 8 Page 11